Thank you, Margarita. And I'm very happy to be here, and I really like what the sister said in the beginning, that this church is a combination of a lot of different people, and I felt like I'm one of them. And well, I got saved long time ago in Czech Republic, in underground church, and from that time to today, God is directing me and helping me in my life, and I'm always amazed when I can, in times when I can speak in Israel, work here, and it's really something special for me, as we all probably feel the same things. And I would like to say that I brought with me the books Cross and Switchblade. We had them storage in this church, in the bomb shelter, and down here, and we print 15,000 of them, in every language 5,000 copies, and we have it in Arabic, Hebrew, and Russian. And that's a story about how the ministry of King James started in 1958, but it was written in 1963 by one lady, Elizabeth Shirley. She was actually not planning to write a book. She's a writer, but she was trying to describe what God is doing. And the reason why she was trying to describe it, because she had a close friend, and her friend, she wasn't a believer, and she said, I would like to for her to know how God is wonderful, what is he doing today. And she knew the brother Dave Wilkerson, what he's doing, and she started to write a letter to her friend. In the beginning, she said, I will write her letter and about what God is doing. And it, from the letter became a book. And but the whole attitude from her was to describe how what God is doing between the ministry of Brother Dave Wilkerson in New York City, how he's helping those young kids that are lost, and what she heard, the stories. And she wrote a book with this attitude, and then it was printed, and today it's over 50 million copies around the world in more than 40 languages, and we are so happy we can have it here in Israel too, in all of those languages. Like in Hebrew is a full version, because a couple of years here was running the book with not full message, and I'm happy we have that now, and as a full version. And also we have it in Russian language. Mm-hmm. I would like to say that this book has an amazing, not the power, but the way how it's written, and the things what are described there, how God can help the person, how he's real in our lives, are really touching the lives of people. I'm working in Tinsha in Czech Republic, and I never used drugs in my life, and God just called me to this ministry because I got saved, and I started to share my experience with the Lord, that He is amazing, He is so good, and He is helping us, forgiving our sins. And I shared it with my friends, and there was a young boy who was using drugs. It was in 1986, I think, or 85. When I met this guy, and he introduced me to other guys that had been using drugs, and then someone gave me a book, Cross and Switchblade, in Czech language, and I started to read it, and I was amazed. And then we printed the books, and we gave away around over 100,000 books, just in our nation. And I'm amazed how God is using that book, because we have a center, and I always hear a different story. One of the stories I never forget was one lady. She was very young. She was like 19, 20 when she was in our program. And she said, you know, I was searching for food in the garbage place, because she was a drug addict really on streets. And I find a book in that garbage place. And I start to read in one place, you know, in an abandoned place. And she said, I want to know this Jesus. I want to have this. This is amazing. If it's true, I want to find him. I want to find him. I want to find that teen challenge thing. And I'm pretty sure in 2 weeks she was in our program. And after that, I heard many stories like that. And people read this book, and they got so encouraged that God can help them in their hopeless situations that they start to search for him, they start to cry to him. And that's amazing. And I mean, because the lady, she decided to describe what is reality and the way how she put it everything together, and thanks God for translators, they find a tone what she was trying to say. That's still talking even today. It's still talking even today. And I look at when we printed in Israel, it's 2013. It was written in 1963. It's 50 years ago. But it's still the same power behind it, because our Lord is not changing, is it? Still the same for all of those years. And I'm happy to announce that we have this book here for you today also. If you want to take it, it's over on the table. Just take it for someone who don't know, maybe you will meet him. And I know it works in this land too, because we do a little promotion movie about it, how we want to get this book on the street of Israel. And we have it in Jaffa. And I walked to the boys, there was like five Arab boys sitting there taking rest behind the restaurant. They have been serving there. I came to them and I gave them Arabic version. I said like, hey guys, you know, there's a book. If you know someone who's on drugs, you can give it to him, you know, and it can really help him. And they look at the book and they said, it's for free. I said, yeah, it's for free. But remember, this is a great message for someone who is lost. Give it to someone. They said, oh yeah, I gave them a couple. And really, 5 minutes later, I met a drug addict. And he was walking with a cross and sweeper in the hand, with the one what I just gave those guys. And that's all about him who is directing his message. Amen? I just want to encourage you, take it. You never know when you can use it. And if you have a heart to see others be happy as you are happy, then just you can do with those books what you want. And one pastor said, don't just put it in the garbage. I shared this same story. It was in Tiberias last week, I think. But I just want to encourage you to be bold and don't be afraid. And just use those books as God needed you, and you will see maybe how he's using that. Amen. We are also working very Richard about starting the center here in Israel for men. We have a shelter home for ladies in the city of Arad. There's a director, our sister Polly Siglin, and I would like you to pray for her, that God will help her to go through. And we have a lady there, one lady with a little child was born, and his name is David, a couple of weeks ago, and he's growing well. Well, I will now share with you the Word of God, and it's from New Testament. And it's from Matthew 6, and it's from verse 9, and it's as we talk, we call that Lord's Prayer. It's about the Lord's Prayer. Well, before I were reading these couple of verses. It's from 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. It's 5 verses. And, you know, sometimes we got in our life to a situation that we felt like, well, how I should pray? How I should talk to God? How I should address Him that He will hear me? Well, I would like to say that this little prayer, as it looks like little prayer, it's not that little how it looks. there is a huge information in it. There is something which is very important for all of us as a human being on this earth. And I would like just to share for as a little bit about what I feel, what I see, what is encouragement in it from our Lord, how we should stand in front of our Father. And how we should be living on this earth. What are the core things they need to be part of us? Well, first of all, I would like to say that this prayer is a part of the message on the hill, what Christ is preaching from the chapter 5 till 8. And it's a It's a lot of information in that message, in that preaching, what Christ is preaching, isn't it? When I sometimes try to just read it and think about it, it's so huge, it's so amazing, so very important, so many very important information. And in the middle of it is a prayer. Also, it's mentioned in the Luke. It's mentioned that this disciples, we call them student in church, they ask Christ, Lord, teach us how we should to pray. How we should to pray? And then he's mentioning the same prayer as it's in Matthew. And but then he's continuing with the story in Luke after that prayer. He's saying that we should to have a stand that we want to talk to Father. And he's mentioning the story about a man who is knocking on the door of his friend asking for bread, that he doesn't have a bread at home because he got the visitors late at night, and he's knocking on the door and says, please give me a bread, I have a visitors. And he said, I'm in bed, I don't have the time. We all know the story. But there is written that because he answered his request, because his, I like this translation, what I'm just now getting through, because his chutzpah, his boldness towards, then he answered his prayer. And Christ is just saying that after this prayer, as he's saying that we should to have that chutzpah towards the God, you know, that we should to have that stand that we will talk about our needs. We will describe them to him. We will have that attitude. We want to talk. We don't want to be quiet. We will just maybe whisper in the beginning when we are weak, or we are stressed under the situation we get in, or the fear what just jump on us, because the situation will just this jump in front of us, you know. And then we should to be bold always to talk to our Father. And I really like what is Christ showing us, how we should to be standing in front of him, what is our attitude. Well, we see in the New Testament a lot of times how Christ prayed. He prayed in many places. He blessed the bread. He was praying for us as the disciples in John. We have his prayers, a lot of prayers, different prayers, and type of prayers, and we can learn from that. But what I believe, this prayer is what Christ is saying, pray like this. It's showing us what we need to understand if we want to really pray the good way, or what is the core things what we should to be focusing in our lives and through our lives. Because we are on journey. I'm on journey for decades, and I'm not in that 30, but I still can be one of those they reach the 130 years serving the Lord. There's a couple of those in the Bible mentioned. And we have a future in front of us. I really like it. The testimony of the president of Israel. He's 90 years old. He's serving. He's running. And I'm saying, my friends, you know, we are just in the beginning. We are 40s. Because when I was young, I thought when I would be 50, I would be dying. But that's not true anymore for me. I'm close to that age. And I'm getting new encouragement in front of me. And I'm saying, this man, Shimon Peres, I'm saying, like, wow, 90 years old, I have a future. Amen? Yes. And we have a future. And we should to believe in it. And but we have a journey. And we don't know how long it will be. Maybe my end will be this afternoon. We don't know. But I'm now here, and I don't think it will be this afternoon. I hope not, because I'm still dreaming. Sometimes we feel like we wish it will be, but that's not from God. But Lord wants us to know a couple of things when we are on this earth that we need to be aware in our lives. And I strongly believe that this prayer, which is the first prayer what Christ is mentioned in New Testament, that's about how we should to pray. And he's saying, you therefore pray like this, our Father in heaven. Well, I can read it all, but I don't want it because we all know. But there is a statement in it. It's not too many people they can talk. And actually, there was a doubt about it if we can call God as a father. But in the scrolls, in Qumran, and find it even written that there was a man who was praying to God as a father. And, you know, we can pray to our God as a father. He's our father. And our Lord Christ is encouraging us to call him Father. Our Father. He's not just mine, he's our, but he's Father. He's our Father. I'm from body of Christ from Czech Republic. I got saved in underground church. I never saw Bible in my life till I was 20. It was forbidden. I didn't know it exists. And I got saved there. And I can call the creator of the universe my father today. And Christ is encouraging me to do that. And I want to encourage you too. What it means to have a father. You know, I lost my father when I was 20. But I enjoy him till that time. And I know what it means to have a father. It's someone who cares about you. Someone who disciplines you. It's someone who talks to your life. Who invests in your life. It's someone who takes care about you. It's someone you can come to him anytime and talk to him. And he's listening. And we have a father who is in heaven. And that's what is on the beginning. We have a Father in heaven. And I don't know what the heaven means for you, but it's a special place. You know, the heaven is a place where we are dreaming about. We are hoping for. We are going toward the heaven. This earth will, on the beginning was the heaven and earth created, isn't it? And Christ is saying that this work will be fulfilled. Or how is it written? It's written that the heaven and earth will not disappear till everything will be fulfilled what is written in this book. You know, there is a time coming when this beautiful heaven, what we see from here, and this earth will disappear. But in Isaiah is written that there is a new heaven built already. Isaiah is prophesied that. A better place where when we will get there, we will forget about this place. Can we imagine to get somewhere and then forget about that one? We already love it so much sometimes, isn't it? People die for their land as the soldiers. People are fighting for their gardens, for their life, for the life on this earth. Well, but something much better is coming, and it's heaven. And we had a father. He's in heaven. He's in heaven. And I don't know how you picture the heaven. I read a couple of stories, and one little girl, she was saying her mom, it was somewhere in America, she was saying, she looked at the star, she come back from the city to the grandma house, and she looked at the star, and she said, Mom, if this is the heaven, the stars up there is the bad opposite of heaven, and it's so beautiful, how it must be nice in the heaven. And I don't know how we picture the heaven, but I would like to, Brother Richard, come, and I have a little story written what one man say, and my English is not so good. I would like him to read it if you can for me.
Charles Fuller once announced that he would be speaking the following Sunday on heaven. During that week, a beautiful letter was received from an old man who was very ill. The following is part of his letter. Next Sunday, you are to talk about heaven. I'm interested in that land because I have held a clear title to a bit of property there for 55 years. I did not buy it, was given to me without money and without price. But the donor purchased it for me at tremendous sacrifice. I'm not holding it for speculation, since the title is not transferable. It is not a vacant lot. For more than a half a century, I've been sending materials out of which the greatest architect and builder of the universe has been building a home for me, which will never need to be remodeled nor repaired, because it will suit me perfectly, individually, and will never grow old. Termites can never undermine its foundation, for they rest on the rock of ages. Fire cannot destroy it. Floods cannot wash it away. No locks or bolts will ever be placed upon its doors, for no vicious person can ever enter that land where my dwelling stands, now almost completed and almost ready for me to enter in and abide in peace eternally without fear of being rejected. There is a valley of deep shadow between the place where I live in California and that to which I shall journey in a very short time. I cannot reach my home in that city of gold without passing through this dark valley of shadows. But I'm not afraid, because the best friend I ever had went through the same valley a long time ago and drove away all its glory. He has stuck by me through thick and thin since we first became acquainted 55 years ago. And I hold his promise in printed form, never to forsake me or leave me alone. He will be with me as I walk through the valley of shadows, and I shall not lose my way when he is with me. I hope to hear your sermon on heaven next Sunday from my home in Los Angeles, California, but I have no assurance that I shall be able to do so. My ticket to heaven has no date marked for the journey, no return coupon, no permit for baggage. Yes, I'm ready to go, and I may not be here while you are talking next Sunday evening, but I shall meet you there someday.
Thank you. Well, I think it's a great way how this man was describing it, and I thank you very much for reading it. And we have a future. And it's a great future. And we have a Father, our Father. He's with us. And He wants us to be with Him in heaven. And heaven is real. It's real. It is very, very real. And we can talk to our Father because He's very real too. And I really like the fact that Christ is showing us that we should to pray to our Father. Amen. And believing in Him, talking to Him in His name, in Jesus' name, we can talk to our Father. He's very close to us. Well, we are talking to Him, that we want Him, that His name we will be kept holy. We are praying towards our Father in heaven that His name will be kept holy. What it means that His name will be kept holy? Well, I believe it's that email what we just hear today. That little girl, oh no, she wasn't little, she was born, yes, to travel. That young girl, she made His name holy, isn't it? Throughout our life, we can do something for our Father. Throughout our life, we can testify about His great, great power. We can see His miracles. Biggest fear from Israelites of the other nation was not their army, and in some kings they really build their army, Israeli kings or Judean kings, they really build their army. But the biggest fear was God is with them. When they start to build a temple, when they start to repair the foundations, always the enemy was shaking. What if the God will get them back? We will not beat them. His name is holy. His power present in our life is something what we need to be praying for. That He will be in our lives and everybody around will see it. Not because we will talk about it, but because they will see it. They will saw. Well, they have something special. There is something incredible happening in between them. We just want that. We are longing for that. We ask, Lord, Father, we want you in my life. I want you in my life. I want you in my family. I want you in my work. I want you in this situation. May your name be holy. Show yourself that everybody will know. Show that you can show us how you do the things. And that's what we should be praying for. That His name will be holy. Will be in midst of us. Will be the one which will be people will see that they will glorify Him. Not us, but Him. You know, it's not a long time ago my son Philip was in one underground place in China working with the lost people, talking to them. And there was one man laying down behind the corner. I can show you a picture, I have that picture of this man. Actual man, he was there. For some reason he took the picture because it was underground, dirty place. The guy was there and he talked to him, God loves you, He wants to help you. He said, no, I want to die. I don't want to go out of here, I want to die, let me be, I want to die. He said, no, God loves you. And he gave him a book, he prayed over him and then left him. But 1 week later, this man came to our outreach ministry. He said, I want that God, I want help. Today, this man is doing very well. He's in the program of Teen Challenge, getting his certificate because he finished one classroom, you know, and got another classroom. And he's going and he's praying and worshiping God. But as his name, his power made this God change his life. And he's a testimony of God's power. And everybody, what we saw that we are just amazed. I'm amazed because I was in the same channel a couple of weeks later. And when I saw the place, I was like, from that ugly place, there was a little light coming in, powerful. And it gave this man out of there. That's amazing. It's his power. And I believe this man will be a testimony. We all are a testimony. Thanks God for that. Another one, Lord is showing us that we should pray that your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as in heaven. Well, I believe that you all know that there is a kingdom of God. And that we should pray for. You know, the kingdom of God is not about the food. It's not about eating, about having a good things. But kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy to the Holy Spirit. It's in Matthew 3:2, Romans 14:17 is written. It's a peace and joy and righteousness. That's the sign of the kingdom of God. And Jesus is talking to us that we should to pray for it. We should to long for it. We should to dream about it. That His kingdom will come. What is the focus on our life? Are we dreaming about His kingdom coming? Having a joy, righteousness, We all are trying to go, that we feel that at some time we made a mistake. We didn't pay our tax. then we should repent from it. And God is forgiving. Amen. And His peace, His joy in Holy Spirit is part of His kingdom. And we need to have that in our lives. And God wants that on this earth. That's something, well, if we have that, everybody will know it. When I got saved, I remember that day very well. I came home and my mom, she thought that I'm drunk. I said, no, I'm not drunk. She said, you smiling, you never smile. When I got saved, she said, you crazy. She never heard such a word, you know. But I said, I find Christ. I'm happy. I have a joy. And He forgave me all my sin. I was just praying, He forgive me everything. And that's a kingdom of our God. That's what we are praying for. Righteousness, joy, and deep, deep peace. Peace that no one can take us. Any fear. Even if we are in the craziest situation, now we have a peace. Many times I hear that from our students in Teen Challenge. They say, well, I'm amazed. You know, they are living in the room with 15 guys, for example. And they say, I'm amazed. In the past, I would be angry every second. Now I have a peace. I don't know why, but I have a peace. I don't know why. I have a peace. I said, this is the kingdom of God. This is a good sign. Something is happening in your life, brother. The peace, happiness. And that's what we should to be praying for. That His kingdom will come on this earth. That He will be in between us. And also, what the Lord is showing us in that prayer is that Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Well, that's I don't think only mine, but it's something what we should to be thinking about, His will in our life. And sometimes we think what is His will, but we should to pray for it, that He will get us to His will, and He will help us. And I want to encourage you to pray for His will in your life, that it will be done in your life. We have a lot of goals that we can have. I just read, and God has a will for your life. For example, for some families in the Old Testament, the will of God was that they will be gators. They will be standing in the gate. It was from generation to generation. If you born to that family, you go as a child with your father to the gate and you watch the gate. And he said, when I die, you will be doing that. Why, Father? I don't know. No. God calls our family. And that's His will for our family to do that. Do you know that from the Old Testament? Did you saw that? God has a will for us. And sometimes when we are not with Him, and then we got saved, we need to search, what is His will for me? I'm a musician, then be a musician for Him. Are you scholars about the Word of God? Do that, that will be best for you. Are you an engineer? Build it. What God wants you to be building. Are you good bread maker? Do a good bread. And but there is a God's will for us in the body of Christ, amen? We can go on mission field. To help others somewhere, you know? We can go to help the lost people. We can go to buy the wooden things and bless the poor in Bethlehem. We can do anything, you know, what God has called us to do, and He's giving us every day new opportunities. And we should be praying for that. Because His will is done in the heaven, but He wants us to fulfill His will on the earth. And that was one of the prayers of the disciples. Paul was praying for that. Lord, we want Your will be done in our life. I have a couple of verses here. I will not read them all, don't worry, but there is in Roman, always in my prayer asking that somehow God, by God's will, I may now at least succeed in coming to you. He was praying, somehow with God's will that I will be getting to you. They believe in God's will. They ask in Acts, let the will of the Lord be done. But do we know the God's will for our lives? Is it necessary to know it? I think it is. As we are young or older, we need to know what God wants us to do. And be open for Him. Sometimes He is challenging us with different things. And we should pray for it. Even Christ was saying, not my will, but your will be happening as you want. We need to ask for God's will in our life and pray for it and search for it and be open for changes. We don't like changes, isn't it? I don't know, maybe people like it. I had one friend, he's a businessman, he said the life is constant change. I said, like, oh, I don't like that. And you know, the business people, they finish one business, if they don't see it in the world, they open another one and they change that, like, switch, you know, because they research everything, they research timing and market and everything, they have all of that in numbers and they feel it a little bit, move and they switch it. And I'm amazed by that, you know, but what they go by will of the market, how we go by the will of God. And I hope we just need to be more aware of it. Where is God's will for now, for 2013, 14, 15, and in my time. But this is our time we are living in, amen? When we will die, there will be time of others. But now I'm in His time, I'm here, nobody else is on my position. And what is God's will for me now, what I should do? And sometimes we get challenged pretty strong and we are afraid, you know. But if we faithful, we go and we fulfill His will in our lives. And I just want to encourage you. And that's what the Lord wants us to be, praying for His will. Amen? To know His will in our lives. Also, what I believe that He's showing us, those are the part of His kingdom. His will on the earth, His kingdom on the earth. His fatherness, heaven, where we are going, our relation with Him, that's His will for us in that prayer, that we want, we should to be in this relation. And also we are praying for our bread. Well, as only bread, well, I will not say only, because we all need the bread, isn't it? How we feel if we don't have that food. Some people enjoy it, but when I don't have the food for longer, I kind of like get very depressed sometimes. And I recognize that when I'm hungry and I don't have the food and I came home, I'm so tired. And then my wife, she cooks something and I eat it and I go like, well, the life is better now and I ate, you know. And we all need the food. And if we ever faced it, the situation, we don't have nothing to eat, how we felt, it's not a good situation. We don't like it. And, or we are afraid, oh, I will not get a salary, or my life is shaking, how I will be surviving. If we ever get sometimes to a situation, we have been sure what will be next month or next 2 months. If you live in faith, sometimes, the devil wants to wake you up and say to you, look, you don't have a future. But that's not true. If we believe in God, we have always future. You know, the life is strange and everything can change in a second. Amen? We hear about the sandstorm can come on the earth and we will not have everything electronic will stop, you know, we will not be able to buy this. And when we heard that, then we are afraid what we will be eating. I don't have anything in my storage place. And I remember my time when I grew up, my father and mom, they always have something in storage in case the war will come because they go to the war. I don't have anything in storage. I never been in war. And, but when I heard those things, I said, like, well, what will we be eating? Well, we don't need to be afraid, amen? If we believe that God will provide for us, we should be clever. And as is wise. But sometimes, even if we will be most clever and most wise, things can happen that we don't have it in our hands. It's why we should to be praying, God, gave us, help us, be with us for our future, for our generation. And not only the food, but also the spiritual food. Teach us, show us what we need to learn, what will really give me something what I need to know, what will build me up. The food build you up to get stronger, isn't it? I lost a couple of kilos, I'm so happy for that. But I get to the point where I start to feel very weak. I said like, oh no, this is not good. I like my meal. I didn't have a big diet, no. God helps me, just some food. But I mean, sometimes we feel, if we don't have the food, we feel weak. But also, if we don't have that spiritual food, we feel very weak, isn't it? We have a bad thoughts. We don't have a strength to fight them. God wants to give us the true Word of God, so that we can stand on it, and we should pray for it. God wants to give us that, and that's what Christ is saying: pray for the food, pray for the needs. Today, what we have for today. You know, sometimes the challenge came and we don't know how to react. But then the Word of God came and we start to understand we can pray this way, or we can do this way, or we can change. And you know, pray for it. Pray for the directions in getting stronger and getting for every day something new. Because life, as we all know, every day, every month can come some different thing. If you look at 2013 years was different than 2012. We have different challenges. And who knows what will be in 2014. But for every day, God is giving us strength. Not by food only, but also by His Word. And by messages. And we just pray for it. Also, one of the things what Christ is saying is verse 12:11. Or 12, and forgive us our debts, as we all have forgiven our debtors. Well, what I believe the Lord wants us to be, have an ability to see ourselves. Do we see ourselves in the perspective from the Lord, from God? We ask for forgiving our sins, as we forgive others. But I believe that there is something we need to be aware of, be able to see ourselves. And that's a teaching about forgiveness. You know, a lot of sicknesses what people have in their lives, I mean, real sicknesses are because they don't forgive. They hold something in their hearts. This is one of the results of our forgiveness. Their lives are destroyed. They don't flourish. They are not happy anymore. But we have a lot of challenges about forgiveness in our lives, don't we? We have a lot of, there is, especially we need in the body life, over, together as a fellowship. We have this brother that didn't like us, or he said something bad about me, and it hurts me. I should to forgive him. But also, I believe that this verse, this prayer is teaching us that we should to see ourselves. And it's very wrong if we don't see ourselves, if we don't have ability to see ourselves and see that we are sinners and ask for forgiveness. See our situation. I also didn't forgive. I also have been talking about someone. I also didn't do this right in front of the Lord, and I didn't ask Him for directions or helping me. I didn't come to Him. And that's something what I believe is very, very, very necessary to learn in our lives. It is core things. If we don't have them, we are missing something. And just be open in front of Him and ask for forgiveness. Not only forgiveness to others, what they should give us, but also forgiving, ask for Lord for forgiving what we didn't give Him. We didn't give Him our time, maybe. We didn't give Him I'm not talking about. Sometimes people think, if I gave the 10, I gave the donation, I buy the car for this ministry, I'm fine, I'm great, and I buy the house in Africa. We think that we do a great thing, or we serve someone. No, but you know, sometimes we don't want to pray, we don't want to spend the quiet time, isn't it? Just listen, you know, and I don't have a time on you. And we can ask for forgiveness of that too. And I know He forgives us because He's our Father. And He wants us to be in a good relationship with Him. And He forgives us what we've done wrong. And there is the last thing, and that's, and do not lead us in the hard testing, but keep us safe from the evil one. Well, you know, when food is very necessary for us, forgiveness as a human being is a core thing in our life. Being able to forgive others, being able to ask for forgiveness. But also the hard testing. Well, I'm amazed how hard can life be. And I know we all have that experience. If we are here longer, you know, I'm a kind of like baby boy. I mean, I'm an optimist. It's my sickness. I'm an optimist, and I trust everyone. But I learned some lessons later. I was shocked, and I kind of like said, "Wow, life can be hard. It hurts me," and I can start to protect myself, you know, from another hurt, you know, and then situation change. You know, I grew up in the country. There was no way even thinking that I would get out of this nation to other nation, like cross the border to Germany, forget about it. Or Austria, never will happen. Or going west, western countries or other countries. That changed overnight. Like this, God changed it. But the same thing can change in our lives. We are all so happy. Then one visit in the doctor, and we hear the news, and we are stressed. We are stressed. Testing, hard testing. And then what we will do with this? Where is my faith? Oh, now you switch the TV because you watch the TV every night, you don't have a time to pray. Then you switch the TV and you really start to pray because the situation gets worse, really. And the testing, hard testing, when it came, I mean, real hard testing, then we are thinking, I will not make it, I will not make it. But you see, it's not changing because you say, I'm not making it. Well, then you start to pray and start to search for God. Help me out of here. Help me out of this situation. And that's what we pray. And then many times, if we really find the Lord, we are amazed how strong is He. How He can get us out of this strange situations. But still, we should to pray. Because sometimes there are really hard testing in front of us. And we should to pray that He will help us out of there. And keep us safe from the evil one. You know, the evil one can be a devil. It can be a human being, it can be myself, the evil one, the bad situation, bad things. And I just want to encourage you, there is a direction, we should be praying this way. And He has the power to keep us from the evil one. He has the power to keep us out of our sins. The biggest evil is the sin. And He can help you out of your sins. Amen. You know, I see that every time when I see our students. For 20 years they have been on drugs, for example. Then they start to cry to God, help me from the evil one. And in a couple months, or a couple prayer, and really giving their hearts to Him, He start to take them out of there. And now they are a new creation in Him. The Lord is changing their lives. But they are with Him and he is with them. But I also see through all my, and I know we all have it, I also see that some of them, they stop to cry to God, as we do sometimes. And then the evil come back and stole them. But if we are with him, he's protecting us from the evil. And as we are on this earth, we will always face the evil things. But we can have a kingdom of God in our hearts, peace. We can have a joy. Even there is not too many reasons to celebrate sometimes. But there is a joy. Sometimes we are under stress. But when you start to pray, then you are happy. In your mind, everything goes, no, no, no. But in your heart, everything goes, yes, yes, yes. There is a joy. There is a hope. And I want to encourage you. This is just the basic what we should be praying for. There is much more. But we don't need to be afraid. He's with us and he wants to lead us. And he wants to help us because he's our Father. And his kingdom can come to our lives, to our midst, between us, and we should pray for it. And God bless you all, and I believe that we can, I hope that I encourage you. God bless you. Thank you.